Microsoft Teams Apps with Blazor with John Miller.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host for helping you and your teams move fast, deliver quality, and run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using everything that the .NET ecosystem has to offer. This podcast is sponsored by ClearMeasure, a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results. ClearMeasure is hiring architects and .NET engineers at the moment. If you'd like a path to become an architect, just go to clearmeasure.com/careers. And then finally, be sure to check out the video show Architect Tips. Now we have an exciting guest on the show today. We have John Miller. He is a senior program manager at Microsoft, and he's been working on the Microsoft Teams toolkit so that we can make Teams apps with Blazor. He also works on Visual Studio tools for Unity for game development. John, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And there's a lot of .NET developers out there, and some have probably seen your content, but there's others who are just now getting to know you for the first time. You're a program manager at Microsoft, and you've been in a number of teams, but what kind of led you into Microsoft and into this part of Microsoft, just so the listeners can get to know you a little bit?
Sure. So what led me into Microsoft was an acquisition from Xamarin. So I worked at Xamarin on mobile app development tools a couple years ago, and Microsoft acquired that company. And then that kind of jump-started my career at Microsoft. So I started out with mobile app development. That was kind of my passion. And that quickly led me to work on the tools for Unity. And just recently, in the past year, I joined a team to work on the Teams toolkit to really help developers build Teams apps with .NET and other technologies.
Nice, nice. I tell you what, that Xamarin acquisition is, that's made just tons of waves. And of course, we're looking forward to Maui, and we've had guests talking about the new just, you know, .NET native smartphone applications. So, man,
absolutely,
what a journey for you through that.
Yeah, it's been an exciting journey, and I'm just feel blessed to be a part of it, to be honest.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good time to be a developer, isn't it?
Yeah, there's lots of exciting things to take a look at from, I mean, even knowing myself, just in this journey I've been on, working from mobile apps and focusing on that, then to game development, and also now with Teams development and web technologies, I'm seeing there's just tons of stuff that you know, whatever you want to play with, it's just out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, back in show number 158, Dan Roth was on the show, and he was talking about .NET 6, and he talked a lot about the Blazor support and the enhancements that are coming out in the .NET 6 timeframe, which is really right around the corner, what, a few weeks away, November of 2021. And you're working with a type of Blazor app, as I understand it, for Microsoft Teams. What's the vision for that?
Right. So what Dan and I have worked on together, and I think what he was talking about is, I came on the team to work on the Teams toolkit, and really it was about empowering .NET developers. We have a great set of tools for JavaScript and TypeScript, and we're still building those and working on those, and that's part of the Teams toolkit as well. But we also said, hey, you know, we have a lot of developers in Visual Studio, and we have a lot of .NET developers that also want to build Teams apps. And so what does that experience look like? And you know, talking with Dan, and Blazor seemed like a great choice as far as creating, you know, what can we do to give .NET developers kind of a one-stop shop for using C# and using all the tools that they love, Visual Studio, and to build an application that, or an extension that runs inside of Teams, and kind of package all that in a set of tools that makes it simple. And so that's really what we've been trying to do. So these apps are Blazor server apps right now. We provide some templates for that. So there's nothing too particular or different from a standard Blazor app there. We've just tried to reduce all the boilerplate for you. And then we're building some set of tools around that to make provisioning and publishing and some of the other life cycle parts of the kind of developing an app a little easier.
Okay. And what's, is this, are people using this already, or is this going to be kind of G at some point, or what life cycle is it in at the moment?
Yeah. So the .NET experience, well, actually the Teams toolkit in general is in preview right now, and they're both available on the VS Marketplace. So we have a VS Code extension, and that focuses on the JavaScript TypeScript experience. And then we have a Visual Studio 2019 extension, and that focuses on the Blazor experience. And right now they're both in preview. They're available in the marketplace. And it's also part of what we call Teams FX, which is the Microsoft Teams framework, which is open source on GitHub. And that includes some CLI tooling. The VS Code extension is open source. And the SDK that all uses is all open source. That's available right now on GitHub. And we're working on the GA. And right now our frame of thinking on that is we're really focused on kind of a quality-based GA timeline. And we've been getting a lot of feedback from the community, like, what does that mean? And like, where are we in that life cycle of how close are we to the quality that we want? And so we're working on defining that roadmap and kind of sharing that out with the community right now. So that's, it's kind of a work in progress.
So if I were just to compare and confirm or deny, Zoom has now these Zoom apps and Zoom extensions. Is this similar where somebody joins my Microsoft Teams meeting, and now because I've registered an app in there, they have a kind of customized video meeting with me?
It sounds similar. There's a couple different, what we I guess what we call extension points or capabilities that you can do with apps. There's like tabs, so you can have custom tabs in Teams, which are really like hosting a page. So you can host a website page or a web app inside of Teams, and either in a channel or in a private conversation or in a group conversation, you can have these tabs at the top. Or there's some other more common ones like bots. So that would be considered an app. And then there's also meeting extensions. So you could do something similar like you're talking about, it sounds like, where you could customize what your in-meeting experience looks like. And then there's also messaging extensions. So you can customize or add some features to how you compose a message. And a lot of times when you're in Teams, you can already see some of these things that are already kind of baked in. When you go to compose a message, maybe you have some integration for, you know, your DevOps platform. So when you type in something like, let's see, we have Azure DevOps apps, I think, in Teams. So when you type in, so, you know, paste a link or something like that, you get this adaptive card experience. And, you know, that's really that type of unfurling of the link and providing some context is all, you know, something an app can provide.
Okay. So for people familiar with Slack commands, where you do a forward slash and then give a command, I'm guessing someone could write an app to listen for keywords or formulated commands to do something?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think we could consider that something like a bot app.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and there's different kind of degrees of how you want to make a bot, whether it's interactive or conversational, or maybe it's just, you know, executing some commands like you're talking about. Absolutely. Same exact type of scenario.
Now this is getting exciting because for development teams, this image just popped into my head about a developer war room. And if everybody, because a lot of development teams are just keeping a video call going on a side monitor passively and they mute themselves or whatnot. But that way, you know, the whole team, even though they're remote, they're kind of in the war room. And if somebody says something, the other people hear them or whatnot, and then you kind of talk. But if that's the case, then this war room could be customized with the status of the build, the various environments, a little, I could say, you know, deploy version 1.2.321 space UAT, and it could literally kick off a deployment to that environment. Am I on the right track of possibilities, or am I off?
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, I've seen some teams already do something similar to that, where, you know, they start out with some way to control a DevOps experience, and that could be anything from like some slash commands to check on the status of an environment or some cloud or some cloud server or, you know, some CI tool or something like that. And sure, it just sounds like you could build something a little richer and more collaborative like that. Maybe even put it in meeting like you're talking about. Yeah, that sounds totally, you know, that sounds like in the realm of something you could build with Teams.
Now, how much of the Teams application can be controlled with code that I build?
Well, there are quite a few extensibility points. I think we call them capabilities. So like I said, there's, meetings, like in meeting apps and messaging, and then you can put your own tabs and either personal or in channels or groups. And then there's also a couple more points, but I can't remember what they are off the top of my head. So I think quite a bit of it is extensible. Of course, the primary focus is, security and making sure that these extensibility points are safe. So, we'd have to take a look at the documentation to see them all, because we keep adding more. But, any developer that doesn't find what they're looking for, that's the type of stuff we'd love to hear.
Yeah.
I want to extend this, or, hey, this isn't possible. That's great stuff to hear, because we're definitely open to expanding the platform and really making it great for developers.
Well, we're in the cloud world now, but many years ago, for companies' internal networks, people were writing Microsoft Outlook add-ins, because with Outlook, you're not only emailing, but you could call somebody, you could chat with somebody on your team, get to the calendars, and they would literally have a pane that was docked to the bottom or docked to the side, and it was 100% custom mini application. Are those part of the vision, where I could kind of dock my own pane to the bottom of Teams and have whatever I need down there?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if that type of thing is possible yet.
Okay.
I know. So if you're not familiar, in Teams, there's a on the sidebar on the left hand side, there's a little icon that says apps, and you click on that, and that brings up kind of a pop up that shows you kind of an entry point into what your tenant allows for apps. And that's all controllable by your admins of the tenant. And this is kind of a place where you can, once you add an app there, then you'll see that, or you can also dock it on that sidebar too. So once you have an app installed, you can, I think it's called pinning. Yeah. So you can pin it there. So then when you open up Teams, all of the apps that you've pinned are right there and accessible. And I believe, our team has talked about it. It'd be really cool if we could, once you have an app, you could even dock it like to the Windows taskbar or something, You just click on that as kind of an entry point. I think that would be really awesome. I don't believe that's possible on Teams, the business app yet. But that's the type of stuff that we think would be really exciting. And that's the type of stuff we ask developers, what do you want? What would make your lives better? What are you looking for? So any type of feedback like that is always, always great to hear.
So before we move on, where can people go if they try it out and want to provide feedback?
Yeah. So for Teams FX and the toolkit that our team works on, it's github.com/officedev/teamsfx. And that repo is really a good entry point to see kind of all the tools that we provide, and, submit an issue. And that's a great place for us to have a conversation.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
You mentioned that JavaScript and TypeScript were kind of came before, so it is a safe assumption that whatever these Teams apps that we build are just as usable in the desktop versions of Teams as the web version of Teams?
Yeah, we really, it's really, left up to the developer for some of this thing. When you're building a bot or something, that's, a lot of that is already handled by Teams, and you kind of have the framework to build out these things, and adaptive cards are all kind of built in and handled by Teams. So the UI piece of that is pretty much handled. But for things like tabs, that's really hosting a web app, and you can do whatever you want there for the most part, as far as UI and things like that. So you could go for it's totally custom, and then you'll be in control of how that adapts, between platforms. Or if you start with the Teams framework that we have and scaffold out a project like that, we include the Fluent UI React components, which are the components that Teams uses. And so if you use those things then to build your UI, and it'll kind of look and feel like Teams, And also it'll adapt, you know, between platforms much easier. So it's kind of, you know, whatever you want to do.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So you're working on a way to make these apps possible with Blazor. What's the development or Visual Studio project type look like for these Teams apps?
Yeah. So right now what we're doing is we are shipping our own template called Microsoft Teams app. And is a template that is included when you install the extension. And this template is a Blazor server project. And we've just customized it a little bit to have some of the files that are required. Like there is a manifest file that's required for Teams apps. So we'll include kind of a scaffold, like a dummy placeholder version of that, and fill in some things for you. And then we've also added a bunch of boilerplate for kind of constructing this, the infrastructure for a Teams app. And then we've included some sample code. So that way when you can just kind of press F5 and see it in Teams and kind of be ready to go. And then from there, you can kind of customize as you want. So right now there's not a lot that is tweaked from a normal Blazor project. If you go in there, there'll be startup CS. It looks just like the standard template that a Blazor server app has. And we're working on how can we make this more modular so that we can do things like Blazor Server and Blazor WASM. And we're also working on how we can make that more modular so we can put it on any ASP.NET project, not just Blazor project. So if you want to use an ASP.NET project as a backend, and maybe you want to use TypeScript or JavaScript as your front end and have it, you know, that in Visual Studio, and that we can do that too. So that's the feedback that we've been getting from users, is that we want to do all of it. So
yeah.
That's what we're trying to find a way to make that happen.
Okay. Now, do you run it locally always by launching Teams, or can you run your app on the side and just have the Teams APIs stubbed out? What are the options for running locally?
Yeah. So for the Blazor experience, when you create a new project and you press F5, it will be running locally for you, like your web app, obviously, be hosted in Visual Studio, IIS, or whatever you choose. And it will launch the Teams web client with your tenant. And we have like a special URL there that's in the launch, I forget, what's that called? Launch settings, JSON file. Mm-hmm. We have a URL in there that launches Teams and kind of has some URL hints to which tenants go in. And that's all set up when you create the project. You choose your identity of which account you want to use to register your Teams app with as part of your M365 account. So we kind of stuff all that out for you. And then the Teams client connects to your kind of locally running instance of the app. So if you close down Visual Studio, then that app kind of dies.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of the debug experience. So
okay.
You can debug back and forth. So you can F5, it's running in Visual Studio. You see it in the browser inside of Teams. You can set breakpoints and kind of work how you kind of normally would when you're running a web app. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay.
So with whatever the app does, it's obviously the developer's business and they can test it using normal techniques. For the code that's running inside the actual Teams shell, what are the automated testing touch points?
I'm not sure. What do you mean by automated test points?
Like if you're for developing the framework, you have code that's now, you know, kind of hosted in Teams. Do you have to go through Teams to write automated tests to make sure that it's doing the right thing? Or can that app be just run separately from the Teams app and test it directly?
Oh, I see. So we don't really have any guidance for that yet for the Blazor experience, but I think it would really be up to the developer to, we do give you ways to know if your app is running inside of Teams or not. So you can kind of choose to do different things there. And really, since if you're talking about tab applications, it's really, you know, an iframe hosting your web with a couple other restrictions that we have documented there. But you could choose to make this runnable outside of Teams.
Okay.
So you know, you could do a lot of the heavy lifting outside of that. And a lot of times when I'm kind of toying with things and testing things, I'll do that. I'll just launch it in a browser and not inside of Teams, so I can more quickly do some stuff and not have to be inside the full context. It also lets me test like, hey, if this website is meant to run in both places, right, then let's make sure it works. And then also when you're inside of Teams, then you get a little more context of things. So, okay, I'm inside of Teams. Now I know who this user is that's running it. I can authenticate them. Maybe I don't have to show a sign-in page anymore because I already know I'm already running inside of kind of an authenticated context. So I can do some different things or maybe show some different profile information, et cetera.
Okay. So it sounds like there's no limitations really, because you can run it outside of Teams. And if you can do that, you can use any other testing method you're used to.
Yeah, sure. I mean, when we're talking tab apps, I mean, it's really a web app, and you can go as custom as you want to down to, you know, making it as specific for Teams as you want. Really, it's really up to the developer.
Okay. So since it's my own application, is it safe to assume that I would deploy that application to pre-production and production applications, however I saw fit, and then we just wire it in some way for the actual deployment to the Teams production environment?
Yeah, so you do have that option. You can, you can do those things today. You can do it kind of however you want. What we're building as part of the Teams toolkit is we're trying to build a more streamlined way for developers to get from like beginning to end, and those things from scaffolding up into provisioning and deployment. And right now we've been focused on giving you ways in the toolkit to publish to Azure a little easier. And so we have ways that you can create kind of different environments there and also register where those things are in both in Teams and also in Azure. So you can kind of test both. You can do, you know, as many, whatever configurations you want, you know, dev, test, prod, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Okay. Now here's a sticking point that a lot of people have with many applications, even just other popular applications like PayPal or Salesforce, where maybe there's a non-production or a sandbox environment, but it's not really the same with Teams. Is there such a thing as a non-production Teams environment that can be deployed to and tested out before actually modifying what people are using day to day?
Right. So what we recommend is creating a M365 developer account. And what that will allow you to do, and that's free, what that allows you to do is create a developer tenant for Teams.
Okay.
And you can add that to your dev account. And then you can go to teams.microsoft.com with login with that new dev account. And you can also choose to like fill it with some dummy users and some dummy data. So that way your testing has a little more like, stuff to see, and it's not just completely empty. Then you can create channels and things there, whatever you want to do. And you could add your app into there and test in kind of your own environment. And then you're also the admin of that environment. So you can kind of see what that side of it looks like. And you have complete control over it. And that's all managed through the M365 dev program.
Nice. So it sounds like you could create any number of non-production environments that you choose, right?
I'm not sure if you can create multiple like tenants for underneath that account. That I'm not sure about. You can definitely create the dev accounts that you want to do.
So maybe tied to the developer account.
Yeah, that's kind of what I remember.
So maybe if you have five developers on the team, you're limited to five non-production environments, one per person?
I can't remember, to be honest, if there's a limitation there or not.
Okay. Well, hey, it's preview. There's, I'm sure y'all will change a lot of things or as you work on it. So that's awesome. Well, cool. So another thing that you mentioned is Unity game development, and just touching on that, what's the status of Unity? It's been around for a long time, and it's, you know, when you install Visual Studio, even 2022, there's the checkbox for would you like to install Unity. But for people who maybe never done it before, what's coming up that's compelling that maybe they should take a look?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, the other thing I work on is the Visual Studio tools for Unity, and that's again that's a tool set inside of Visual Studio and Visual Studio for Mac. That provides a debugging experience, some productivity enhancements, and some really lets you just use kind of the C# tools that you're more familiar with in these tools with Unity projects. And as far as what's new with Unity, I know there's a new version coming out. There's so many things I couldn't I couldn't possibly name them. I have a hard time keeping track of them myself. They're constantly moving. It's impressive the things that they come out with. But there's, you know, there's a lot of great stuff that's been going on there in the past probably a couple of years. We've really worked hard to improve the tooling. I know that there's a new way that we interop with the editor, the Unity editor, so that way IDEs can work with them. And we've worked really hard on creating this package to give you a really good experience. So when you install Unity, you can choose Visual Studio, or you install Visual Studio, you can choose Unity, like you mentioned. And then when you create C# files, double click on them, they open up in Visual Studio. You can, you know, separate points and write C# just as you would. We have Roslyn analyzers there that help you write better Unity code. That's, you know, those are specific to Unity. There's some different C# idioms in Unity projects that, you know, .NET developers may not be familiar with, or, you know, might take some time to learn. So we try and help with that as well. Yeah, so that's also something that's pretty exciting. And if you haven't tried it, it's free to get started. You can go check it out. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun to just drag and drop things, and you know, next thing you know, you're creating Pong or, you know, whatever game idea you've had. I've had so many that you know, it's fun to just open up a project and get to town.
Nice. Now, there's more and more platforms that Unity is targeting these days, right? Are there what consoles can people quickly target with Unity?
Yeah, I'll say like all of them with an asterisk.
Okay.
Because there are probably some that people can name that, you know, maybe not. But all of the major ones, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, all, you know, PC, mobile, everything. I think last time I looked, it was like, you know, 23 or 28 plus platforms that you can publish to. So any of the mainstream things, you know, probably anything you've played in the past 10 years, you can publish to. But yeah, their website does a great job of, I think it might even be on the homepage there. But I've never really ran into a limitation on publish to with Unity.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Well, before we wrap up, are there any resources that we should point the listeners to on either Teams Apps with Blazor or Unity that we haven't mentioned already?
No, I think the GitHub repo for TeamsFX is probably a great starting point to check out the toolkit and get involved there. You know, we have folks around the clock that are keeping track of that. You know, some of our team is in different parts of the world, so we're always keeping an eye on there. And then for the tools for Unity, you know, you just download Unity. If you're brand new, download Unity, and it'll give you the option to install Visual Studio if you don't already. And if you already have it installed, then, you know, go into the VS installer and install the tools for Unity. And that way everything will work nicely together. And if you have any problems with that, you know, we have the developer community website, which is just part of Visual Studio all up. So I think that's developercommunity.visualstudio.com. And that's a great place to report a problem or submit a feature. And we keep an eye on that. And that's really how we stay in touch with the community.
Awesome. And how can the listeners find you?
You can find me on Twitter or LinkedIn. On Twitter, I'm J Miller Dev. And on LinkedIn, let's see, what I'm The Real John is my LinkedIn.
The Real John.
Yeah, The Real John.
Out of all the many. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah, that's also my GitHub name too. So I'm happy to receive messages about it, you know, feedback, questions about Teams Toolkit or about the tools for Unity on Twitter or LinkedIn. Would love to chat with anyone that's also a .NET developer, you know, interested in Teams development. You know, happy to work with you and see what your team needs and see if this is a good fit and how we could improve things.
Perfect. All right. Well, John, thank you very much for coming on the show and visiting with us. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. It was great talking.
And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.